Well, this is a big one. It's Easter morning. I'm always trying to file away new Easter sermon ideas because, as you have noticed, it happens every year, right? And it's always the same story. As Julia read, we've got the empty tomb, the women at the garden, the resurrection, all of it. And as remarkable and perplexing as it is, there aren't too many surprises left. Right now, there is certainly something nice about the familiarity, right? All y'all know what you're getting when you show up on Easter morning. But there's also something, I don't know, too easy about it. Right? There's like a fine line between something being comforting and comfortable. Sometimes it feels like the Easter story can feel like grandma's overstuffed floral couch. You know the one, right? You're excited to sit in it, but it might also put you to sleep. You know what I'm saying? I think it's easy for Easter to come and go, for us to curl up and get comfy for a moment, and then once we've checked that religious box, to just go back to life as it was. Well, this Easter, despite my newly filed away Easter sermon ideas, I want to do something different. I want to read a different story, do a different sermon, a different couch, so to speak. Typically, one would read from John chapter 20 on Easter morning, and this Sunday, I want to read from John chapter 21. We all know the Easter story, but what's next? What comes after Easter? What do we do when we step outside the door? Let me set this story up a little bit. After all the shock and awe of the empty tomb, after everything they had been through together, 7 of the 12 disciples, they just get away from it all. They head out to the Sea of Galilee, and I bet they needed it. You know that deep breath of ocean air after something big has just happened? And it's worth noting that for the disciples, this is no ordinary sea. They watched Jesus calm a storm on this sea. They watched Jesus walk on water on this sea. Countless of times they watched Jesus preach from those very shore. They watched crowds fill the hillside, all trying to listen. But now it's just them. It's the same sea, but it's quieter, emptier. And I'm sure they all had different things to process, but for whatever reason, my heart always goes out to Peter. Right? He denied Jesus 3 times and then had to watch that whole scene play out. And then we read in one of the readings that he runs and finds the empty tomb, and then he runs back again to tell everybody what he had just found. He's been through it. I just got to assume he's exhausted. So Easter resurrection, yeah. But what do we do now? What's next? Let's read this together from John 21, starting in verse 1. Afterwards, aka after Easter, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, so James and John, and 2 other disciples who, for whatever reason, aren't named, well, they were all together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into a boat. And I don't want to offer some thoughts here. I may be reading between the lines a little, but I think Peter's feeling a little lost. I think he's drifting. Yeah, he knows that Jesus is risen. He saw him, but he also knows that Jesus is different now. That Jesus isn't always with them like Jesus had been with them. It appears to me that Peter doesn't know what to do next, doesn't know what to do after Easter, and so what does he do? He goes back to his old job, fishing. I don't know, do you feel that? Like, I feel that. It's like Peter's moved on from Easter. It came and went. It was a big deal, but I guess that whole season is just behind me. I guess it's time to punch back in and grind out another week. Have you ever experienced a season of immense growth? Or maybe like a moment of enlightenment? Or maybe it was just this massive project that you had been working on for so long, and then when it was over, you just kind of settled back in. It felt like that thing was going to change everything, but then it turns out that Mondays still happen. Right? Like the kids, they don't just feed themselves. The fish aren't going to catch themselves. And so Peter returns to fishing. And it feels like he's taken others with him. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat. I mean, he's Peter. He's the rock. Kids, not like the rock. It's like a Bible thing. And Peter is going back to what he used to do, right? He's going back to fishing. And if he's doing it, we're all doing it. I guess it's back to work for all of us. We keep reading. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Right, to add to the letdown and the feeling of being lost, they aren't even good at fishing. Right, how defeating would that be? These guys used to be miracle workers. Jesus would send them out two by two, and it was like spiritual energy just flowed from them, and now they can't even catch fish. So as the sun comes up, they return to the shore empty-handed. Again, we keep reading. They went out, got into the boat, but that night, they caught nothing. Then early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets onto the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Just then, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. How good is that? Right? One moment, Peter's feeling lost, drifting like a man or a person without purpose. And the next moment, he's jumping off a boat, fully clothed, because he sees Jesus. Yeah, the fire's back in Peter's belly. He jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Can you picture this scene a little bit? Is it as humorous to you as I catch it? Peter's fire's back, and it's almost like he doesn't know how to handle all his fire. The dude jumps off a boat fully clothed, swims 100 yards to shore. He runs to Jesus, finds a campfire. Jesus says, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Peter jumps back into the boat, drags the same net, if you remember, was too heavy for all seven of them to haul into the boat. He stops long enough to count them, and then what? He drags 153 fish back to Jesus and says, "Is this enough, my Lord?" He's bouncing off the walls. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Easter. Yeah. But what's next? What do we do with ourselves after it's gone? Like when the letdown sets in and we've all had to go back to work, back to fishing. Right? What's next? Well, Jesus' invitation to the disciples and to each one of us this day is quite simple. Come and have breakfast. Right? I think Jesus wants us to start our post-Easter life off with breakfast. But not just any breakfast. It may sound like a random or simple meal on the beach, but it was so much more than that. Let me try explaining. I believe that this breakfast was designed to fire Peter back up, to remind him of who he was and all that God had done in his life. Right? Check this out. You didn't catch any fish. Cast your net on the other side. Where have we heard that one before? Yeah? It's a direct reference to the very first time Peter and Jesus ever met. In Luke 5, we read, Jesus saw two boats on the shore. The fishermen were not there because they were washing their nets. Jesus got into a boat that belonged to Simon Peter. Jesus asked him to push out a little way from land. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Push out to the deep waters. Let down your nets for some fish." Simon Peter said, "Teacher, we have worked all night and we've caught nothing. But because you told me to, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets started to break. And so with this simple request to cast his nets out one more time, Jesus transports Peter back to the first time they met. Back to the very beginning of their relationship. But there's more to this breakfast. When Peter gets to shore, the breakfast is made up of a few pieces of bread and a few fish. Anyone remember where we heard that before? Right, again, it's a direct reference to the feeding of the 5,000. At time where the two of them worked together and Jesus took just a few loaves of bread and a few fish and fed everyone. But there's still more. Did you hear how he served it? We read, Jesus took the bread and gave it to them. Anybody getting Last Supper vibes? Communion vibes? He took the bread and he gave it to them. Peter's feeling lost. He's drifting. He doesn't know what's next, and Jesus serves him up a breakfast to remind him of who he is and all the things that God has done in his life. Yeah, Peter used to be a fisherman, but he gave up everything to follow Jesus, and since then, he's seen Jesus do wonders upon wonders. Right, he sat at the table and took the bread and took the cup. Yeah, he may have betrayed him, and Jesus may have been taken from them for a while, but it's not over. Right? In this moment, Peter's still Peter, and God is still God. And so, yeah, Easter Sunday, right? Friends, you may have an Easter brunch waiting for you. You may have family or friends, all the fun stuff waiting for you. And in the coming days, you might also find yourself feeling a little lost, like you're drifting, like you don't know what's next, and so you just put your head down and knock out another week of work. And in that moment, I want you to think back and remember who you are, right? And all the things God has done in your life, right? What would your breakfast look like? Where would it take you, right? What would it remind you of? Mine would start with some gross hospital food to remind me of the lung surgeries and the scary moments God's taken me through. It would also have some ugali and skumawiki and some various Kenyan foods to remind me of where God's taken me. Some of the spirit-filled people who have shaped me into who I am today. And it would also probably have some chicken nuggets and Polynesian sauce to remind me of the gift God's given me of three happy and healthy children. I wonder what your breakfast would look like. Where would it take you? What would it remind you of? All of those things you've been through, they're all part of your story. They're all part of what makes you you, and they're all worth remembering. Friends, don't let this Easter be another religious box to check. Don't drift or give in to the letdown of life. Don't revert to another mindless day of fishing, especially if you're no good at fishing. Don't stay lost or walk around wondering what's next. Instead, you could try jumping off a boat, feeling the cold water. Right? You pull up a seat, have breakfast, and remember who you are and all the things God has done in your life. And in case you haven't heard it in a while, or in case you've been fed a different story, let me remind you that you are good. Sure, we all drift at times, we all get lost at times, but you're not broken, you're good. Like in your core, deep inside, just the way God made you, you are supremely and ultimately good. And friends, that's good news. It's good news. So happy Easter, and amen.